What's up, Aggies and all listeners? My name is Cole Noel.
This is Hayden Noel.
And this is the Noel Radio Show.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. This is your show for all things sports related for Aggie football, Aggie basketball. Not really too much baseball, hockey, or softball, anything like that.
Although we have great teams in those aspects.
Yes, support all the Aggie teams, but this is mainly focused on the basketball, football programs here at Utah State.
Yeah, so coming up, we got a full lineup today. We're going to mostly be talking about the football season so far, a couple of maybe bowl projections, and then also basketball, some projections for Aggie basketball, some things that maybe we're liking, maybe we're not liking, and we'll do that. So once again, this is the Noel podcast, not radio show.
Yes.
I messed that up.
Did you say radio show?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I said radio show.
All right.
It doesn't matter.
That's okay.
All right. Well, first of all, Hayden, what do you think about the season so far? Let's start with Aggie football. So we are officially 6-5 bowl eligible after Saturday's win against Hawaii, 38-0. Is the Aggies' first shutout in about 4 years, I think. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is impressive. I mean, this season's kind of hard to really break down, especially because, you know, there's been so much controversy over Matt Wells and whether, you know, he's the right coach for the Utah State football team. We're going to get into that a little bit later as to why or why not he should continue to be the coach at Utah State. But overall, the weekend, really impressive win. I was impressed by the Aggies. I thought they took care of Hawaii pretty easily. I mean, Hawaii really wasn't even close the entire game. I thought the offense dominated on both sides of the ball. You didn't see too much from Jordan Love just because I don't really think you needed to see too much from him. I mean, we were running the ball pretty well. The throws he did throw, I mean, were right on point, except for that one. He had a bad decision where he tried to throw out over the top of our receiver, and you know, he was picked off. But other than that, I thought it was a really good performance by Utah State this weekend.
Yeah, I can definitely think that as well. Let's just look at total yards here. We had 475 compared to Hawaii's 318. We had 164 passing yards compared to Hawaii's 146 passing yards, and we almost doubled them in rushing yards as well. So once again, kind of like you said, though, you can't tell too much from this game because it is the Hawaiian Rainbow Warriors. And unfortunately, this season, they're 3-8, 1-7 in the conference. So what kind of things do you think we're looking for in this next week against Air Force?
Well, you know, Air Force, I mean, they're one of those teams that likes to run the ball. You know, they like to run that option. They're, you know, kind of like Navy or Georgia Tech.
But they're Air Force,
yeah. But they'll run the ball on you. And if you can't stop the run, then, you know, they're just going to keep running the option, running on the edges. They'll run their quarterback. And then, you know, when you bring your safeties up or you bring your linebackers up to help out, they'll hit you on a long bomb. And so you really got to be able to stop the run, which is what I'm afraid of. Because this year, I think the biggest weakness in Aggie football has been stopping. One of the biggest weaknesses in Aggie football has been stopping the run.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially really against Hawaii, it seemed like the only thing that was going for them when they'd start moving the chains was when they'd run the ball.
Yep.
They'd run about six of the same exact play and we still couldn't get it. And then finally got down to our 1 yard line and we got that, you know, fumble recovery. So that was pretty cool. But why do you think that's so? Why do you think we're so bad at stopping the run? And if we can't do it against Hawaii, then we better look out against Air Force.
Well, I think whenever you're looking at stopping the run, you've got to look at your defensive line. Is your defensive line able to plug up the holes that the offensive linemen are trying to make? And if they aren't, then it's really hard to, you know, to stop it. So I think we've struggled up front on the defensive line as far as stopping the run. As far as stopping the run. But once they break through the line, you've got to have linebackers who are quick enough and strong enough to make plays. And one thing that we struggle with on defense is our team speed. I feel like we are really slow defensively. Not so much with cornerbacks or safeties, but as far as trying to stop the run around the edges and through the middle, we're slow. It seems we're slow to get to the ball, and because of that, I think that's the main reason why we struggle stopping the run.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that. I just don't think we have the same defense that we used to have. I believe there are a lot of young guys on the defensive end right now, so that, you know, we could see that getting a lot better.
Yep, that's true.
But a lot has changed since Matt Wells has come in as head football coach. You noticed maybe a decline in our defensive pressure. With Gary Anderson and his recruits, about half the defensive team, it seems like, went to the NFL, great players. And so that's not just him coaching, but it's also his ability to work with the players and also recruit talent. So now just to wrap up with Air Force is on a 3-game lose streak. They lost to Army, Wyoming, and then they got thromped by Boise State last week. So, mm-hmm. Maybe there's some signs there. And just when it comes to bowl games, do you think we're good enough to go to a bowl game at 6-6, or do we need this win against Air Force?
The committee, the people who select, bowl teams, they don't have to select you. Even if you're 7-5, they can select a team who's 6-6 ahead of you.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's scaring me, because everyone keeps saying bowl eligible, and we are bowl eligible, but that doesn't mean we're getting into a bowl.
Right.
I've noticed a couple of local sports stations have already said, they have their bowl projections of where we're going to go, and it's not even necessarily secure that we are going to go. And you have to have that optimism, obviously, going into this week. But as a 6-6 Utah State team, do you think we get into a bowl game?
I'm going to say yes, just because Utah State traditionally, the fans seem to travel. The fans seem to travel to games, especially that are close by. So I could see us getting into, the Potato Bowl, which we've been to
18 times.
Yeah, I'm sick of potatoes.
Yeah, we are the kings of the Idaho Potato Bowl.
There's a bowl in Arizona called the Arizona Bowl, which I could see.
Do you have those projections right there?
Yeah, I do.
Here. So we're gonna read off some of the projections, that other sports companies have done about the Aggies for their bowl projections.
Yeah. So we have the most popular bowl projections have us going to the Frisco Bowl, which I have never heard of Frisco, but it's in Texas.
That's why we're going to it.
Yep. It's in Texas. The Orlando Sentinel, which is a paper, I guess, out in Florida, has us playing Houston, which would be an intriguing
matchup. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
There's another one. David Hale from ESPN has us going to the Cure Bowl, which is in Florida against Appalachian State.
The Cure Bowl.
The Cure Bowl, yeah. And then there's another bowl, like I said, the Arizona Bowl in Tucson against New Mexico State. I think that one would be probably, to me, the most intriguing, just because, we used to play New Mexico State when we were in the WAC. And I think it would be interesting to see where the two teams are now that we have moved on to the Mountain West and New Mexico State is still in the WAC.
Yeah, but do you think they're really looking at that? Do you think they really give a crap about, seeing where we compare to Mexico State now from where we were?
No, I don't. I think just for me, that would be intriguing just to look at. What I think they're looking for is money. Is Utah State going to bring enough people to where we can make a profit off this bowl game? And to be honest with you, there's another bowl projection going to Michigan or Florida. I just don't see Utah State really drawing too much of a crowd out east. I mean, if you want Utah State fans to travel, it's got to be a bowl closer to home.
Yeah.
Preferably, Arizona, California, or I guess, the Potato Bowl we could go to again. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they come up for Utah State. The most interesting one, I think, the coolest one to go to would be the Foster Farms Bowl in California. Jerry Palms of CBS Sports has us playing Washington State.
Oh, wow. That'd be interesting. That'd be a good game.
Yeah. I think Washington State would probably trounce us, but it's always good to play upper level teams in bowl games because it gives you a chance to see at the end of the year how good are the Utah State Aggies.
Yeah, it's true. And it also draws eyes and draws ears to that game. If we are playing, I don't know, some poo team in Idaho, then you might have five people tuning in to watch the game, right? But if you are there with Washington State down in California, then there's a little more draw to that. Now, they don't have the Poinsettia Bowl anymore, if I'm correct. So maybe that's kind of the one that replaced that. So, yeah, I'm down. I would, I'd love to go to that. That'd be a fun game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, whether Utah State makes it to a bowl game isn't entirely up to them. I mean, some other teams who are also competing for bowl spots have to lose.
Yeah.
I think Texas Tech is one of those teams that are right there as well.
Yeah, true.
So it just depends, I think, on how Utah State does and if they're intriguing to other, you know, the bowl committees or things like that.
Yeah. Yep. That's very true. So just to wrap up the bowl projections and Aggies football season so far, we're going to go with the question of the day. I just made that up 5 seconds ago, but it is now a thing. Question of the day, is Matt Wells on the hot seat? Real quick, yes or no?
Is he on the hot seat?
Nope. I said yes or no.
No, he's not.
Okay. That's surprising. I think he should be on the hot seat if he isn't. And I have a couple reasons for that. I want to hear your point of view first, though.
Okay. So when I think of the hot seat, I think of, you know, it, right now, should he be, you know, if he were to lose the next game, should he be fired?
Yes.
And I don't think you can fire him. I just, you know, he goes 3-9 last season, and then he's bowl eligible this season. I don't know what entirely the standard would be for the athletic director to all of a sudden say you're fired. I think going to a bowl game this year would keep him at Utah State. Now, I think the different question and the more important question that needs to be answered is Matt Wells the future for Utah State football? Is he the guy who can take Utah State to Mountain West Conference championships, to upper level bowl games, to beating upper Power Five football teams? And if you're asking me that question, I think the answer is no. I agree with you on that. I don't think he's the coach for Utah State in the future.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's the only reason why I would have him on the hot seat now. Obviously, I can't get into our athletic director's, you know, mind and read his mind. But from my point of view, if we go to a bowl game, if we win or lose the bowl game, you know, Matt Wells keeps his job and there's nothing shaking around there. It kind of might show where our athletic director's mindset is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it seems to me recently that we're kind of being complacent with this 6-6 football team. And you know, us as fans, obviously we want more and you have to be grateful for what you have, you know, 66 bowl game, you're going to a bowl game. That's awesome. But at the same time, you said you're not winning Mountain West, championships. You're not going to upper bowls. You're not getting, the looks like you should be getting. And I do not think at all that Matt Wells is the coach to take us there. And that's why I think he's on the hot seat, or at least he should be on the hot seat, because We need to find that coach that's actually going to do something. We need to find the Gary Anderson. Speaking of Gary Anderson, there is a lot of rumors and speculation about him. You know, he did leave about $15 million on the table in his last job. He still has a house in Logan. So would Gary Anderson potentially coming back to Logan, would that put Matt Wells in the hot seat?
No,
don't think so. Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
No, I don't think so. Here's how I would frame it. Is Matt Wells on the hot seat? No. Should he be fired? Yes.
So is
that doesn't mean he's on the hot. If someone's on the hot seat, that means that they're.
So who's deciding who's on the hot seat then? The athletic director?
Yeah.
So then he wouldn't be on the hot seat.
I think the athletic director is.
So you're agreeing with me.
Huh?
So you're agreeing with me. You're saying that he should be on the hot seat.
No, I said he shouldn't be on the hot seat. I said
no, he's not, but he should be on the hot seat.
No, I said he shouldn't be on the hot seat, which he isn't, but he should be fired.
Okay.
That's my perspective, not the athletic director's.
Nah, that's
fine. Here's the reasoning. It's kind of just like I said, you know, Matt Wells, he went 3-9 last season.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the expectation would be from Aggie fans and the athletic director to all of a sudden fire Matt Wells. If he goes to a bowl game, which it's looking like it will happen, you know, how can you fire him if he goes from 3-9 to 6-6? I don't know how you would fire him at that point.
Let's be honest. I mean, he won three more games.
Yeah, but
you know,
I mean,
3-9 to 6-6. He won three more games, and he didn't even do it on his own terms. If Matt Wells had on his own terms, Kent Myers would still be in the game throwing ducks. we'd be 2-8. We'd be
that's fair, but
pitiful.
But he did make the change. He made
you
the change.
You don't know that he did that.
Well, he's the head coach, I'm assuming. But this is I'm not defending Matt Wells as a head coach. I'm not. I'm just saying that he's not on the hot seat because he's going to a bowl game. I don't know if you can fire him. I would fire him because I don't think he's the coach that's going to, like I said, take Utah State to conference championships, to competing against upper-level teams. I mean, you look at the games we've won this year. We beat Idaho State, who is an FCS school. We beat San Jose State 61-10. I mean, but
San Jose State.
They're basically
San
FCS
Jose
school.
State.
We beat, and San Jose State is 1-10, I believe. We beat BYU, which everyone knows BYU is terrible this season.
Absolute garbage.
I mean, they just lost to UMass. Are they like a technical school? I don't even know what kind of school. We beat them, who's 3-8. We beat UNLV, who I think has the best record out of all the teams we've beaten, at 5-6. We beat New Mexico, who's like 3-8, and Hawaii, who's now 3-8, I believe. So, I mean, and if you look at the teams we lost to, I mean, we got basically our butts handed to us against every other team that we played besides Wyoming. And so, if you look at, I mean, the teams we're beating, and then we're not even really competing against teams of that upper level, like the Boise States,
yeah,
the Wisconsin, Wake Forest, I mean, not even competing. And that's what's telling me that Matt is not the coach for us.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, and I just think that ever since Matt Wells took over, disregarding the first couple years after he took in Gary Anderson's players, basically, and some of his coaches, that the team has just worsened. You know, there's not really any indication that we're improving as a football team. It's just sort of this mediocre.
Yeah, and I think they're okay with that.
Who?
I think maybe not Aggie Nation as a fan base, but I think the head of Aggie Nation, I think our athletic director, I think our coaches, I think they're complacent with that. I really do. You just don't see anything to say otherwise. I mean, obviously they want to win more games. Obviously they want to go to higher bowl games. Mm-hmm. But do we want it bad enough?
Yeah.
Because we're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right question to ask. I think I would ask, you know, can Matt Wells produce a better season than this? Because, I mean, the last two seasons are basically the team that he has recruited or the players. It's the scheme he wants.
Oh, yeah. This is not Gary Anderson's team anymore.
No.
This is Matt Wells' team.
No. And so, I mean, in my opinion, this is the best you're going to get from Matt Wells. You know, 6-6, 5-7, you know. I don't think you're going to see anything more than that. And for that reason, you know, that's why I would let him go. This season, I don't think you can, just because I don't know if it's worth it to buy him out. You know, you got to buy out his contract.
Yeah, it's true.
To let him go. But he did, you know, he took you to a bowl game. So I think you have to keep him.
All right. And yes or no. So if we don't go to a bowl game, does he stay?
Yeah, I think he does.
He still stays.
Yeah, because
I think that's BS. This is my BS bell.
Cole's going to be ringing that every time he speaks.
No, nope, that is definitely what Hayden...
Everything that comes out of his mouth is BS. But here's why. He doesn't control whether we go to a bowl game or not.
Who, Coach Wells?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he kind of does.
He can put us in the position to be picked as
a
bowl team.
That's fair.
At 6-6, but he's not on the committee saying Utah State should be to a bowl game.
But that's the thing. He's put us in a position to be bowl eligible. I don't think he's made an argument that we should be in a bowl game.
made honestly, an argument.
Look, you talk about how the upper class, you know what I'm talking about. They blow us out, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, we're 6-6, but we're picking up scraps as our wins.
Yeah.
So is that an argument?
I agree.
Do you think they're just looking at records? They're just going to say, oh, they're 6-6, bowl game. Or do you think they're saying, look, they beat 1-19 BYU. They beat 1-eternity San Jose State.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if honestly, when you look at it, our wins aren't impressive. They're not impressive.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, what do you want us to lose to those teams? I mean,
no, you got to win, but you also got to win the other. You got to at least some of them, and we haven't.
Right. So I don't think you can fault him for beating these bad teams because he's doing what he's supposed to in that regard. What I fault him for is the level of competition that we're putting up against these Power Five or upper conference teams. It's just not there. We don't even compete. And that's what's most troubling to me. But I think when you're an athletic director, you're looking at ticket sales, you're looking at the fan base, you're looking at bowl eligibility.
Yeah, you're getting dollar signs, you're getting money.
Exactly. And Matt Wells, you know, we were 3-9 last year, we're 6-5, potentially 7-5 after this weekend. And just looking at the wins, I mean, wins bring ticket sales. They do. Yeah. And so even if we don't go to a bowl game, I just don't think there's enough there to justify firing Matt Wells and paying, you know, I don't even know what his buyout is. I'm assuming it's probably around
$1. A Big Mac at McDonald's.
No, it's probably around $3 million, something like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think his contract is through 2019. But next year, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the team is like. But I think one more point to be made besides wins and losses for Matt Wells to be fired are the decisions that are made in the game. Last year, I want to say it was we were playing either UNLV or New Mexico, and we had the ball with about 40 seconds left. We drove it down to, I believe it was the 30-yard line of New Mexico, and Kent Myers ran it, and we had, I don't think we had any timeouts left. We may have had one timeout left. But instead of spiking the ball with like 7 seconds left, we just send our field goal unit on. So everyone's confused, trying to get set up for a field goal. It was third down, so we could have spiked it, but we didn't. And then the clock expires. That's a coaching problem. That's not a player problem. Another example. Bringing in Kent Myers after you have decided that Jordan Love is your starter, I think is a mistake. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing. You've decided that Jordan Love is your starter, and then you bring in Kent Myers at the beginning of the second quarter to play quarterback.
Yeah, and obviously, so Matt Wells was a quarterback at Utah State, so he knows the quarterback game. He knows how it all goes. And so I wouldn't doubt if he was trying to, you know, be nice. Mm-hmm. To Kent Myers, throw him little cupcakes, you know, cupcakes. make sure he's fine. You know, so he's giving him reps here and there. You know, he gave him a rep at the UNLV game in front of his family. He gave him a rep at senior night, and I can understand that. But I'm with you. Once Jordan Love started the game, there was no reason to put Kent Myers back in. That's happened a couple times. And that to me is a huge coaching problem. Not just trying to help a kid out, because he's trying to help Kent Myers out. I understand that. But also the willingness to lose football games because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know, you look at the Boise State game. It was, I think they started out 21-0. We scored a touchdown with Jordan Love, 21-7. We stopped him, got the ball back, and then he put Kent Myers in. It's like, you know, it's not like we're really competing with Boise State, but he put, you know, the second string quarterback in when we're down by a touchdown, when we had just scored a touchdown.
Yeah, like what are you going to lose?
Yeah, I don't know. That. And that to me is indicative of a coach that is unsure of himself. I want a head coach who is confident in the decisions he makes and that doesn't waver after those decisions are made.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Don't worry. So I think, to be honest, I think we do come to a consensus. I don't think Matt Wells is going to be fired, mm-hmm. bowl game or no bowl game. I think Matt Wells stays. Personally, yeah. if I was the athletic director, I'd have his head.
He'd That's be out why of, you're not the athletic director.
I know,
director.
It is. He'd be out of Utah State, and Gary Anderson would be riding us to a national championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but so if that's all right, if you're done blubbering over there, then we'll move on from Aggie football to Aggie basketball real quick and try to wrap this up quicker than what, slower? I don't know. But yeah, so
yeah. And let us know. Let us know in the comments below, guys, if you agree.
Can you comment below?
Is this going on YouTube?
I don't know.
Where else are
it's
you
on
put
iTunes.
It? It's on iTunes.
You can't comment on a freaking iTunes post.
I thought you were
going
to put it on YouTube. I didn't know your plans.
Yeah, no, we're putting this on iTunes.
Okay.
You know, well, sports radio show for now. We might change it.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, so tonight, actually, today is Monday, the what, 20th? Yes, today's Monday, November 20th. We have a game tonight, 8 o'clock against Portland State. That's a must see. I can't imagine how many people are going to be watching that game. So real quick, we will talk about the season so far. We are 2-2. We lost embarrassingly to Weber State. And then we won against Montana State. Obviously, the blowout against Mississippi Valley State University. And then actually, in my opinion, an impressive loss to Gonzaga.
Impressive loss.
Impressive loss. Yep, I'll explain. So basically, That's Hayden trying to copy me and ring my BS bell. So basically, over the weekend, Utah State lost 66-79 against 17th nationally ranked Gonzaga University. Now, the only reason why I say this is impressive is because we were hanging in with them only until about 5 or 6 minutes left in the second half. They went on about 20. Let's see.
Like I think it was 17-0.
Yeah, like a 17-0 run. But before that, we were tied with them. So, I mean, that to me is impressive. It also shows that we can choke. But against, you know, against Gonzaga, what else? You know, I don't think we expected anything different.
Yeah, you know, I didn't expect to win this game either. And I, you know, they put up a fight. I thought they did a good job. Shot the ball pretty well. Three-pointers. We're going down for us, but you just know that at some point those are going to fall off. You know, you've got to establish a different game other than just shooting three-pointers, which, you know, I think they tried to do, but looks like we went 11 for 27, which is decent. I mean, that's 40% from three-point land, and that's good. We shot, 39% field goal percentage overall, 9 of 13. For free throws. But yeah, I mean, this was a decent showing by Utah State. I don't know if I would say an impressive loss. I don't know if
I would say an impressive loss.
I don't know if I would give you that, but Kobe McEwen, you know, he didn't play. Yep. He was out. I believe it was a ankle sprain, something like that. He was out. But you know what I noticed when I was watching some of this game was they seemed to move the ball a lot more when Kobe was not playing. The ball seemed to move a little bit more throughout the team, and I think that's what created some of these open shots for Utah State.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just to touch on something that really ticked me off. So I've also noticed when it comes to this that Utah State, we do this game, especially when they went on that run, as I was watching, our offense just went stale donut on us. We couldn't do it. We could
donut?
Not do anything. I mean, we were so they obviously brought in their 7-footer, and then they brought the 3-2 zone. So I mean, the 7-footer kept us out of the paint, and then the three guards kept us off the perimeter. But the thing is that we couldn't what's the word? We couldn't enter.
Spit it out.
We couldn't get in. Sort of the P.
The paint.
We couldn't
penetrate.
Penetrate. Thank you. We couldn't penetrate against that defense, and that kind of worries me. That maybe we don't have that guard that can penetrate. And also, I think we're missing passes. I don't. Do you think we trust our big guys enough?
No, but I don't think that's a problem with the guards. I think that's a problem with the bigs.
So you don't trust the bigs either.
Not really. And I don't think it's really their fault. I like Quinn Taylor. I think Quinn Taylor hustles. I think he's a great defender. I think he, you know, he has post moves. The problem is he's just not one of those big, strong centers that you need. And I think that's why, you know, the ball isn't getting into the paint more. Utah State has been missing a big guy who can really pound it down low, get you some rebounds and some blocks for quite some time. I mean, we're missing that Gary Wilkinson.
Ooh, you're talking olden days.
Yeah, we're missing Ty Wesley.
Well, and that shows as well that Coach Duryea, his offense is run completely differently than Coach Morrill's. Well, and then the thing, though, that frustrates me is our lack of recruiting, maybe also in this aspect. Our tallest guy is like 6'8".
Yeah.
And everyone else we play has a height advantage on us. So that also keeps us out of the paint. But I think just even the ability to pass it into the paint opens up the three. It opens up everything else. So if we're not, you know, good enough to trust them, then it's going to be harder for our guards as well. You know, obviously I was an all-star NBA point guard, and that's why my opinion counts.
Yeah.
That's BS. I'll call myself on that one. But honestly, I think there's some changes that need to be done. And so tonight at Portland State, I guess we're going to see what Coach Duryea does, what the Aggies do to go out and get that win. And then how impressive that win will be, especially now that we're going to start entering into conference play, which is, you know, the most important of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure if McEwen's going to be playing tonight. I would say he's probably not going to be playing.
I wouldn't play him.
That's my guess. But I was looking on the ESPN app before I got here, and we are a 2-point favorite against Portland State.
2 points?
Yeah. There used to be a time when Utah State went in and beat these teams, you know, pretty handily.
Yeah. The glory days.
The glory days. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I think the biggest piece that Utah State's missing is, like I said, I think it's just a big. I think they need a big that can
defend.
I mean, we had zero blocks and zero steals against Gonzaga.
Really?
Zero. And we had 10 turnovers, which isn't terrible, but Gonzaga only had 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, but if you're not forcing turnovers, then...
So, I mean, if you're going to have a turnover margin of -7, you know, you're not going to really put yourself in a position to win too many basketball games, especially against Gonzaga, who, you know, went to the national championship last season.
So. Yep. Nope, it's definitely true. It is true. So, just to wrap up this session... for Aggie basketball, make sure you're tuning in those games. We are on a road trip right now. We play Portland State tonight, Northeastern on Friday, and then Saturday against New Hampshire. And the next Tuesday against Valparaiso, and then, as we know, December 2nd here in the Spectrum against the then shall not be named team.
Who?
BYU. Against BYU.
We played BYU?
Yeah, December 2nd in the Spectrum.
I don't think it's in the Spectrum.
No, it is. It's a blackout game.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Okay.
And just so everyone knows, my name is Cole Noel. I'm a student up on campus here in Logan.
If you can call yourself that.
And my brother, let's see what he calls himself.
I am aspirer to knowledge.
Shut up. In Brigham City. He's not even on campus.
Yeah. Well, I'm married. I'm actually doing something with my life. So I'm married. Yep. But we're going to be doing the show every Monday, wrapping up the weekend that was in football and basketball for Utah State. And then looking forward to the week that will be.
Yep, for sure. And I just got it. Came to my mind. You can't leave comments below, but we will be creating an email and putting that in the description of this podcast. So you guys can email us with your thoughts and opinions. We're correct 100% of the time, and we know it. But you can try to debate us if you will. And yeah, this was fun. So this is the first show of the Noel Sports Podcast.
Yeah. You know, biggest takeaway from today, Matt Wells is not on the hot seat, but should be fired.
But should be on the hot seat. And second biggest takeaway, Utah State needs to start recruiting some big men, and we will see what happens tonight. So for the Noel Sports, I'm Cole Noel.
I'm Hayden Noel.
And we will see you next week.
Good night.